The silence between them seemed to throb with her emotions until she could bear the pressure of it no longer, and her anger exploded into a woman's spite, the kind that only had one purpose, to deliberately crush him. "Don't you even want to know if I've been with other men? Well, I have. I've let them touch me, let them take me, felt alive with them. Perhaps you can hear that. Not even you can be that far away." Carrington stared back, as if his whole being had stopped. In his unchanged face, only the pupils of his eyes seemed to be alive, bright and indecipherable. They scoured her features until she could bear it no more and shouted at him, "For God's sake, Michael, say something!"
He found himself in the neighbourhood of the asteroids 325, 326, 327, 328, 329 and 330. The first of them was inhabited by a king. Clad in royal purple and ermine, he was seated upon a throne which was at the same time both simple and majestic.
"Ah, here is a subject,"
exclaimed the king when he saw the little prince coming.
"Approach, so that I may see you better."
The little prince looked everywhere to find a place to sit down, but the entire planet was crammed and obstructed by the king's magnificent ermine robe, so he remained standing upright. And since he was tired, he yawned.
"It is contrary to etiquette to yawn in the presence of a king,"
the monarch said to him. "I can't help it," replied the little prince. "I have come on a long journey, and I have had no sleep."
"Ah, then," the king said, "yawn again. It is an order."
Sister Madeline's happy, playful voice called to him once more.
"I'm getting rather thirsty up here. Is there some kind of problem?"
Carrington leaned slightly forward out of the crevice and craned his head to look up. And there she was, 30 meters higher this time, casually looking down, unflustered, breathing normally, resembling someone waiting for a bus. His already bad humour got the better of him.
"Look, sister, either stay in one blasted place or I'm going back down."
She seemed to weigh up his words for a moment and then answered in the same light tone.
"All right, but you shouldn't blaspheme. It's bad for your soul. Are you feeling all right? You look rather pale."
"Before you say anything, I had a long night."
Then, as if she suddenly understood the real meaning of what he said, she made an odd guffaw.
"You mean you drank too much, Fifi? And you a public official, too, and climbing our mountain?"
He glanced to his right at his cousin Tad. Though they weren't blood-related, Tad held all the same mannerisms as Ronan, even parted his dark hair the same way. Tad held a similar expression, deep grooves lining the space between his brows and brown eyes slitted. Something wasn't right.
"I didn't like this," Liam murmured. "Aye."
Tad's gaze skittered over the landscape.
"Perhaps we'd do best to increase our speed. Any trap that's laid out we'll fall into, whether we go slow or not."
Tad nodded.
"'Tis better to hurry, I think. If they're coming, whether we like it or not."
Liam urged his horse forward and into a gallop, Tad and the men behind him following, their horses' hooves creating fresh divots in the earth. Only a few minutes at that pace went by before he could hear the thundering of hooves behind them.